wrote on the board, unseen forces. I feel like the Lord's given me a little more from last week. We started this and spoke about different things and how that we had to recognize forces in the world around us and not be apathetic and allow the forces of apathy and the world and all those things to make us have apathy and just float along. And so this morning, I want to talk a little bit more about the idea of unseen forces. In John 3:3, we find Jesus speaking here, and I entreat your prayers this morning. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." You know, this morning, there are things that we cannot see, but they very much exist, don't they? Who can see the wind? But doesn't the wind do great things? The wind whips things around. There was a time that it whipped sand all over, whipped dust all over Oklahoma. So much so people moved out of here by the thousands. And people, it affected their life and their health. And I talked to an old man one time that had been through that. And he told me about how that at night they would lay in bed and they would put cloths, wet cloths over their face because the dust was so great. But all that was because there wasn't wind breaks and things that there needed to be. And there was a number of things that went into that. But there was wind there that you could not see that greatly affected people's lives. And Jesus says here, he says, the wind blows where it listeth, or wherever it will, it blows. And he says, you hear the sound, but you can't tell whence it cometh or where it's coming from or going to. Sometimes it goes in circles, doesn't it? We call them tornadoes. And they can do a great amount of damage, can't they? But you know, this morning, there are things that we cannot see, but we have to admit they are there. And this morning, I want us to think about some things that are there that we cannot see, but it really affects us. And it's not always the wind. Sometimes it's spiritual things. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus couldn't get that. What do you mean? Because, see, he didn't have the Bible like we do. And he was just hearing it for the first time. All this was new to him. And he said, "What do you mean? Can a man be born again? Can it be born as a child again? How can that be?" But Jesus let him know that there is a spiritual birth that we have to have, and it's real. And it's different. And it's a change. We sang the song that talks about from death to life. There's a change that takes place that is a spiritual change that we cannot see with the human eyes, but we can only see the effects of it. Because Jesus said here that the wind blows where it listeth, and he said, we can't tell all about it, but we can see the effects. But so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Folks, this morning the Lord wants to work in our lives. And I want to contrast this a little bit by the help of the Lord to realize that, folks, we're in a world today where there are spiritual unseen forces that are at work that are very powerful. And they affect our lives. And they affect us more than we realize they affect us. So it would be good for us to know about them and to know a little about the fact that they are there and they work. Jesus said that when we're born of the Spirit, that was going to be a natural effect. John said, this is 4 and 4, 1 John. He said, greater is he, it's part of 4 and 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He said, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, this morning, there are powers in the world that we cannot see with the human eye. We need to be aware that there are powers in the world like that. Because if we're unaware and they really are there, then we can suffer from that not knowing. And so this morning, Jesus said to the Jews, this is John 8 and 44, he said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, the devil is real as well as God is real. I hope we realize that this morning. Folks, God is very real. I can attest, I know God is real. There isn't any doubt in my mind God is real. I've seen him work so many times. I've seen him firsthand work. And like the wind, I can't see God, but I will tell you what I can see. I've seen what he's done again and again in mighty ways. And the Lord wants us all to have eyes to see. So this morning, we see these people, and Jesus flatly told them, he said, you're of your father, the devil. Because, he said, the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He was a liar and the father of lies. That's what he did. Now, you know, this morning, I'm just setting a little stage here for us to talk about some things today. In Job 1 and 7, we're all aware of Job. He was a man that God allowed some trials to come to him. But God, in the 7th verse, he said, the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Do you know that Satan does that? And I want us to recognize this morning that, folks, God isn't the only one alive on this scene. So is Satan. Now, he's nothing in the sight of God. But I want to tell you, he's a lot more powerful than me and you. We need God, or we don't have a chance this morning. That's our hope. That's our only hope. And so, when Satan told him, I've been going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. You know what he was doing, don't you? And we'll read this scripture a little more in a minute. 1 Peter 5 and 8 and 9. But it says, be vigilant, Peter says. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Did you know that there is an active force, Satan, that walks about and that goes to and fro? He told the Lord, I've been going here and there. I've been going back and forth. I've been going all around. And the Lord and Peter told us, you know what he's doing, don't you? He's like a lion. He's seeking prey. He's seeking those that he might devour. Now, what's that mean, devour? It means eat them up. It means swallow them down. It means take them to an eternal destiny of torment. It means take them to shame. It means so many things. Folks, Satan is our adversary, and he goes about like a roaring lion. And we will do well to recognize that he is there and that he is going about like that. We will do well to recognize that there is a war against our soul. There is a battle going on. Did you know that this morning? You say, well, yeah. Did you know that? Do you really know there is a battle that is going on and it's very, very real? You know, this morning, I want to come back to this, be sober, be vigilant. Because what Peter's telling us is we need to watch out. We need to be careful because there's one that's on our trail. I want to illustrate it this way. This just came to my mind and I looked it up and read a lot more than I'm going to say about it. But on December 7, 1941, the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor was 3,400 miles from Japan. The President of the United States and those military advisors never dreamed that they would fly and come somehow 3,400 miles in that day and attack Pearl Harbor. But I will tell you what was going on in the background. For months, the Japanese planned this invasion under total secrecy. We're not even going to let a hint of it out. And they didn't. Everyone was taken by complete surprise. Do you know that they planned that attack? I don't know how many months, but seriously, day by day, they planned that attack. They planned how they would do this. They planned how they would get there. You know, they took an armada of ships across the ocean undetected. They used some kind of way of being where you couldn't see them. I didn't know exactly what the words meant. I looked them up, but sounds to me like they must have made clouds, man-made clouds around them. That's what it sounded like, if I understood the words right. But undercover, they got within a few hundred miles of Pearl Harbor. And you know what they did then? They did exactly what they had been planning to do for months. They took hundreds of aircraft and took off and made a surprise, completely surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. They were not ready. They didn't know the enemy was going to attack them. They did not know on that Sunday morning at about almost 8 o'clock, that bombs were going to start raining in on them. And suddenly, unprepared, totally unprepared, they were not vigilant or diligent about protecting that base because they thought it was so far from the enemy. They only did their flights out over, what was it, the southwest side. They never dreamed on the north side they would get attacked from there. They didn't even do reconnaissance flights over that area, because they didn't think they would get attacked from that area. I'm saying this to illustrate something. Folks, this morning, I want to tell you something. Those people knew what they were doing. They damaged or sunk. They sunk, I'm not sure whether it was 2 or 4 battleships. I read different things in different places. But they damaged all 8 battleships that were there and sank some of them. Do you know this morning, they planned on that. They planned on that. The reason they were doing that was because they were wanting to wreak havoc in the South Pacific and take over areas and establish their kingdom. They planned that. They had all this in mind. That's what they were doing all this time, undercover, and nobody knew what they were doing. You know, this morning, about 2,400 Americans or more died in that attack. and 1,000 more people were wounded. I want to read what the writer said happened. Number one, he said there was I can't remember the word he used. There was a great underestimation of the enemy. The enemy was 3,400 miles away. The radar set that was installed worked just like it was supposed to. But the news that a massive aircraft were heading towards the islands from the north was dismissed by the duty officer. They saw them coming. It's not real. Something's not. How could you do that in a time of war? But see, we hadn't had the war declared on us yet. And so they felt a little bit. It was Sunday. Everybody was taking the day off. The anti-aircraft, all the ammunition, it was stored away. There was very few anti-aircraft guns even having the ammunition they needed and all of that. And so they were completely vulnerable. And so, while men slept, there was a massive array of ships carrying 350 or more planes, torpedo bombers, bombers, dive bombers, escort fighters, and they were not ready. On the Japanese side, it said, a cunning and brilliantly executed military operation achieved precisely what its planners had intended, to prevent the U.S. Pacific Fleet intervening in Tokyo's imperial expansion push far to the southwest. They wanted to cripple their only real enemy. Now, folks, they did a great amount of intelligence. They knew that on Sunday mornings, they were relaxed. Everybody was off their work. They weren't looking out. They weren't watching. They didn't even do any reconnaissance flights that day. They weren't ready. Folks, I just wanted to bring that little illustration. Listen, I don't know if you realize it, but we're in a war for our souls. And I want to tell you this morning, we're not only in a war for our souls, but we're in a battle that we're going to have to be vigilant about. We're going to have to take care and recognize that this soul must land up in heaven one day. And there is a whole array of the enemy's work, and he has worked very hard to scout me out and find my weaknesses. Therefore, I must be vigilant. See, they scouted this. They knew exactly what was going on at Pearl Harbor. They had been doing all of this intelligence gathering for quite a while. They knew what went on. They knew where everything was. Do you know this morning, if you want your soul to make it to heaven, we better recognize that there is an enemy and a foe that is set against us that will do anything it can to take us out. Now, the reason that they attacked Pearl Harbor was not because they didn't like Honolulu. It was not because they didn't like the island of Hawaii. The folks, they had plans to take Indochina and the South Pacific Islands, Philippines, all those. They had plans to take all those things. And the thing that stood between them and that was that fleet that was harboring at Pearl Harbor. Do you know this morning, sometimes the attacks that come against us are because we're the only thing that stands between Satan and his designs for something else. This morning, I want to encourage us, folks, to realize that I have a soul. And there is a warfare going on. And there is one that will disguise himself in every way possible. When the enemy came to Eve, he disguised himself. He said, oh, you won't die. And he said, he told Eve, you'll be wise as gods. You see the trickery and the treachery? Folks, she didn't realize what she was into, did she? But this morning, God wants us to realize what we're into. There is one, and his imps and his helps are set to keep us from our purpose. But the Lord has told us that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I want to encourage us this morning, folks. God wants to take you to heaven. Do you realize that? But there's only one way to go there, and that's with the protection of his military help. And I'm talking spiritual terms this morning. And he tells us, we're going to go back to this verse we were at now and look at it in maybe a little deeper or different way. In 1 Peter 5 and 8 and 9, he said, Peter said, be sober. Be sober. I want to read a little of what Clark says about some of these things, okay? Avoid drunkenness of your senses and drunkenness in your souls. Be not overcharged with the concerns of the world. Do you know this morning, most of us here aren't going to be tempted with drink. Most of us. But I want to tell you something. We'll be tempted to be drunk in our souls. We'll be tempted to be lax in our fight against the enemy. And he said, be vigilant. Clark says, awake and keep awake. Keep awake. Keep awake spiritually. Do you know we've got to make sure we keep awake spiritually? Do you know that if we feel ourselves failing, we feel there's a place for us to go to, folks? Jesus Christ, the righteous. He wants to forgive and help us. He wants to raise us up. We cannot stop. The enemy of our soul, I want to tell you, is not. He is not, I say, contented just to cause us problems here in this life. He wants to take us to an eternal misery. And we must not allow it. We must be more vigilant than that. We must recognize, I have a soul. And there is a battle going on for that soul. And I want to make it to heaven. And I want to make sure I make it to heaven. And folks, we can do that if we want to. The Lord has told us we can. All this morning, I want to encourage us. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Do you know that he goes about like a roaring lion, like a subtle serpent? He goes about as an angel of light to deceive. Folks, there's only one way, and that's God's way. And this morning, I just want to encourage everyone. Folks, I know we're diving a little deep here. I want to tell you something. We better dive deep. You've got an eternal soul, and it matters. And we've got to make it over there. And every one of us better be sure that we're being vigilant and diligent. You know what that means? Every day, every hour. Lord, I wake up. Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me today. Give me grace today to be a humble man of God, to be honest, to be pure, to be careful, to have love for everyone. You know what? We better not think, I'll never be attacked on. Yes, you might be attacked. The devil's scouting you out this morning. But I want to tell you, the Lord has a way for us. And that way is to heaven this morning. We don't want to let Satan get an advantage of us. 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant. We are not ignorant of his devices. Oh, this morning, I remember the story of Peter. You remember the story of Peter when the Lord told them? He said, you're all going to forsake me this night. And Peter let him know, oh no, Lord, not me. I'll die with you. And he meant it. And Jesus said to him, this is Matthew 26 and 34. It Sometimes we do mean it. But I want to tell you, it takes more than that. It takes the Lord. Listen to what was said here. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. How many is thrice? Three times, isn't it? Peter, that's what you're going to do. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Jesus knew he had to have strength and help from God, didn't he? He knew that's where it came from. And folks, that's where we miss it. I'm going to tell you, our strength, our help, and our hope has to be in the power of God in our lives. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want to tell you something. When we're supposed to be praying, Jesus was telling them, I want you to wake up. I want you to pray with me. That's the time to pray. When the Lord's talking to us, it's the time to pray, folks. It's the time to seek the Lord until fire falls upon our heart and our life. He said, The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again and prayed. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Jesus was doing his business, wasn't he? Peter was sleeping. Folks, while men slept, the enemy was concocting a major invasion or a major attack on Pearl Harbor. And I want to tell you, if we sleep, I promise you, the enemy will be concocting a major attack upon you and me. Because he's not content to trouble us. He wants to take us out eternally. That's what his hope is. Now folks, it'll be good for us to know that. I believe that. I would like to be tickling your ears this morning. But I want to tell you something. We better be vigilant. We better be awake. We better fight for our soul. Because it's not just how I feel or just what's happening. There is one that is working against you and all the powers that he has. And do you believe he has power? You better believe he has power. Have you read the story of the men in the tombs? Have you read the story of what their life was like? They were troubled. They were taken over because Satan had his way in their life. I want to tell you this morning, the Lord wants to have his way in your life and mine. But we're going to have to be vigilant about it. And we're going to have to let him. Do you know, Peter, in his strength, and he was young and he was strong, and he had a sword on him too. I want to tell you, he had a sword on him. Because he tried to whack a man's head off in the midst of this. I knew a man that got gloriously saved. And he was so changed. It was an amazement to me because I knew him. I knew him all my life. He was so happy. But his wife began to oppose him You suppose Satan was working in that? His wife began to tell him, I don't want you to go to church. I want you to stay home with me. Do you know what he did? He started staying home with her. Now, I know there's a place for family, but there's a place for the Lord too, folks. First and foremost, and family within that. Do you know this morning, I begged him. I said, Paul, don't stop coming to church. You'll lose out eventually if you do that. You know what he told me? He said, I would never give up what I've got. He kind of snickered, and I mean, he wasn't being foolish in that way, but he was just saying, I would never give up what I have. So he began to quit coming until he quit coming completely. And you know the rest of the story, don't you? Without me telling you, you know the rest of the story. Well, you want to know something? The devil got him back again. He wasn't vigilant. I told him, I said, Paul, it's not scriptural. That's why you can't do that. God won't support it. God won't support it. Do you know this morning, he lost his wife too, after a little bit. This morning, I want to encourage us, folks, let's don't be foolish with the things of our soul. Let's be vigilant and diligent on top of things. Let's watch for things. Let's be careful in our lives. Be careful. I want to do anything I want to do. Well, if you do, I want to just tell you right now, the devil's going to get you. He's going to take advantage of you. You better do what God wants you to do. Young folks, you better listen to God's voice that speaks to you, because there is a Satan that is very real that we cannot see, but we can see the effects of it. And he has your demise in his scope and in his sights. And he'll offer you things that seem so pleasing to the flesh. And it's such a grave mistake. It's what he did to Eve. And then she offered it to Adam. And when Adam saw that it was good to eat and a fruit to be desired, he took of it, didn't he? What a mistake. But that's the way it works. People offer it to one another. Oh, this morning, I want to ask us to do business with the Lord. Until we are diligent, vigilant, until that work is done, until we're able to face the world every day like God said we could, and win. Folks, the Lord has that for us today. Oh, I encourage every one of us, be vigilant. Watch. That means watch. That means watch out what comes into your life. Watch out what comes down the pike. Watch out what you let into your home. It's liable to steal your time and affections. And there might not be any sin in it. And before long, I don't have any desire for the things of the Lord. I want to tell you, that is a plan that Satan concocted for you. And we better be aware of it. And only let those things in that God would want us to have. You see, when we're diligent like that, it's a great protection to us, isn't it? We watch what comes into our home. We watch what we take. We watch how much time we spend on that phone. We watch, oh, we say, well, we got to have a phone. Well, folks, I have a phone too, but I want to tell you, we better be diligent about those things. Because when we're diligent, the Lord is our protection. He is our help. He is our leader. He is the one that has the power to help us. But when we become lax, where is God? Where? Oh, I don't know. I guess I left him behind. I haven't prayed in a while. I haven't prayed much in a while. I haven't sought the Lord. I haven't been reading his word. No, I haven't. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're in that case, you're in a very dangerous situation, because maybe unbeknownst to you, there is a great armada of ships from Satan that wants to take you away. Those people, they had no mercy. They wanted to kill as many as they could. They wanted to sink those ships because they had an end in mind. And folks, they did a good job of it too. I want to encourage us today to do some things. If we speak to our wife in a way we shouldn't, and folks, you probably do sometimes, I do. I'm just going to admit it to you. Sometimes I have to go back and say, honey, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that like that. I want to do it right. I want to be careful. I want to be kind in all my words. You know what? The Lord has to help us, doesn't He? It's many times in that humbling ourselves that He gives us that grace and that step up that we needed. I'm not talking about sinful behavior, folks, but that too. The Lord can help us with that. Let's take care of that, because I want to tell you what happens. When through the years, offenses come, and there are no sorries, or there's a sorry and then a repeat, and a sorry and a repeat, I want to tell you, things build. And eventually, Satan sees his time, and he tries to snatch us away for good. He'll do that. He'll try to get us wrapped up where we feel like we can never get back to God. We can never get back where we know we need to be to meet Him in peace. Folks, this morning, we're going to have to fight for it, because we're fighting one that He'll get into your feelings. Did you know that? He will. And you just will feel, you just wake up and feel like, oh, I don't want to preach today. You know what? We got to fight those things, don't we? We don't give in to that. We get up and we go anyway, don't we? You do that on your job. Can we not do that in the things of the Lord? Oh, listen. Take care of your wife and your husband. Take care. Make things right. Build in your relationship. Make it happen. God can make it happen. He has marvelous weaponry. And it'll undo things that nothing else can. He'll do that. He will. He can, if we believe, if we'll trust Him to. All this morning, let the Lord have your life. Make things right. Because see, what happens is, as we said, when things build, and they build, and they build. Happens that way with children. They build and they build, because sometimes it's our fault. Sometimes it's a lot of our fault. It's not all our fault, but sometimes it's a lot of our fault as parents. And we don't connect with them right, and we speak to them in ways we shouldn't. And folks, the day comes that Satan offers them a better picture. And see, we set ourselves up for it and didn't ever realize it. The Lord wants us to keep connections. He wants us to keep relationships alive. Between us, we have to learn to do that. We are very different. Sometimes we have great differences. Folks, we have to keep those connections alive. It's something God requires of us, in fact. Our business better be kept in a place where it glorifies God. I want to tell you something. You get in trouble not being right with the government, signing those forms saying, yeah, this is all true, correct, and complete. It's not. Folks, we can get ourselves in a shape that we don't ever feel like we can climb that mountain and make it right. Keep things right. Be diligent. Don't let the devil get you into a corner where it's, I can't see my way out. Folks, God can help us in all of those things. Strong says, vigilant, to keep awake. That is, watch. Let's keep our love for the Lord hot. Is that okay? Let's keep our love for the Lord hot. I want to tell you what, that'll take care of all the cold. It won't have a chance. It'll take care of the cold. Because we kept our love hot. Keep it hot. Instead of always fighting against the icebergs, always pushing again, keep our love hot. Do His will. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Lord, have your way in my life. Lord, what do you want me to do here with what I got here? Lord, what would you... Lord, speak to me. Lord, be in my life. I want that. I long for that. And the Lord does too. And He gives it to us, folks. Thank the Lord this morning. There's no reason. Keep our love for others fervent. See, diligence. Folks, do you know that you can get it in for your spouse? Did you know that? You can get it in for someone else. You can get it in for someone that cheated you out of a bunch of money. You can get it in for all kinds of things. You can get it in for government people that you feel like are doing wrong, and they are, maybe. You know what, this morning? Let's keep a fervent, that's what the scripture, fervent love of the brethren. Let's keep a fervent love. Let's recognize that there is one that is set against that. He's set to tear it down. He's set to create bombshells. He's set to bring us into some way. And if we're not very diligent, He'll sneak up on us. And boom, He dive bombs us. Does He do that? He ever done that to you? He has to me. I want to tell you this morning, the Lord wants our love to be fervent. And when we feel an unforgiving spirit trying to get a hold of us, that's one of the greatest tools Satan has. Hebrews tells us, this is 12 and 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Will most people say, I've got a root of bitterness growing? No, they'll say, he keeps bothering me. You know what they keep saying? You know what this person did to me? You know what? And that's what, instead of, folks, we have an enemy. We must not be sidetracked. Keep a fervent love and a heart full of forgiveness all the time. Is that easy? It's easy right now, maybe, but it's not easy all the time. There are evil forces at work, folks. Let's recognize it. Let's don't let them cripple us. Do you know that if Satan can't take you out, he wants to cripple you? Do you know that if he can't stop you completely? See, Japan knew they weren't going to take the United States out by attacking Pearl Harbor. They just planned on crippling their ability to fight back. That's what we'll do. We'll attack them. We'll sink some of their ships. We'll cause them chaos. We'll bomb their planes. They won't know we're coming. They'll still be on the ground. And we'll take them out. And then they won't be able to fight back. They knew they weren't going to win a war right there. They were just going to cripple somebody. Folks, the Lord wants us to be about His business. He wants us to be about the work of the Lord. He wants us to be about His will in our life. That's where peace comes from. That's where satisfaction comes from. That's where purpose comes from in our life, is the will of God being worked out in our life. And oh, this morning, there's so many places and things that we could go. But folks, let's be diligent. Let's keep the radar on in our life. Let's allow the Lord that place that He wants to have. Maybe I'll read a few other places here. Colossians 3 and 12. Listen to this beautiful set of scriptures. To me, Colossians 3 is probably the most wholesome chapter that I know of. For me, it is. It has so much good in it. It's the charter for a family, folks. 3 and 12 says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And we could elaborate on every one of those and take a whole morning on each one of those, but we won't. Folks, go home and think about those things. Put these things on. I want to tell you, there'll be a protection against us. The cold water that Satan wants to throw on us and all those things, the best insurance we've got against it is for us to be cloaked with the zeal of the Lord. For us to have upon us, he says here, bowels of mercies and kindness. Be on the offensive. This is what God wants us to have our life full of. Be working on that. Be putting that into our life. instead of constantly on the defense, defense, defense. Folks, let's get on the offense. Is that all right? I don't like to work on the defense all the time. I won't work on the defense all the time. No way. Folks, we've got way too much to do. Way too many positive things to do. Let's fill our lives with good things. There's a war going on, and I can't afford to lose it. I'm not going to lose it for my soul. By the grace of God, I'm not going to lose it, folks. You pray for me. I want to win, and I want you to win. And I hope you do, and you can. It's the promise of God. Every man and woman that wants to can win today. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. How did he forgive you? Were you perfect before he did? No. We just asked him forgiveness and it was over. Never brought it back up to me. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. I want to tell you something. Put these things in. Fill your life up with this stuff. Fill your life up with the word of God. Start studying that. I thought someday you'd get to where, you know a lot more about it. Well, you sure do. But then you realize the depths are unfathomable. And the farther you go, and the more you understand, the more you realize there is to understand. It's like trying to find the stars, folks. The farther they go, the more there is. And he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. All this morning, I want to tell you, in Revelation 12 and 10, it says, and I heard a loud voice in heaven, a loud voice in heaven. Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. I want to tell you, if you don't think you're going to get some accusations and some mud balls from the devil, throw in the towel if you want to. But you have an eternal night waiting on you. We must not throw in the towel. We must fight. We must make sure this soul is taken care of, that this soul is born again, that this soul is ready to meet God. Folks, we have to do that. There is no other person put in charge of that soul but you. You're the only one. What will we do with our soul? Oh, the song says, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. All this morning, I pray that you will be encouraged today, that you will realize what a blessing God has for you and me. Folks, we are in a warfare. We better know it. Those surprise attacks are not good. Those surprise things where Satan was concocting all that carnage, damage, that was not well. Well, I want to tell you, he's concocting carnage and damage for you and me. Let's be aware of it today. Let's be aware and awake and vigilant and on our guard, and let the Lord help our souls to make it into God's heaven one day. You pray for me.